Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. I know it's really true tonight where two or three are gathered together in His name. We know that the Lord is in our midst, and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to open up with prayer here tonight, and just thankful that we can know that the Lord is with us, and that He's going to help us, and He's going to be here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, that we can come to You, Lord, that we can draw nigh to You, Lord, and knowing that You have promised that You were going to be with us even unto the end of the world. And God, here we are tonight to gather, oh Lord, to worship You, to praise You, to grow in You, Lord, to hear Thy word. Oh God, to apply Thy precepts down, oh Lord, into the depths of our hearts. Oh, Lord, and I pray, oh, Lord, that You'd speak to us, that You'd talk to us, that You'd, oh, God, give us what we have need of tonight, Lord, as individuals, as, oh, God, as a church family. Lord, I pray, oh, Lord, that Your presence would come down, Your presence would be here, Lord, that You guide and direct this service, Lord. Come against the enemy and the strong man and every device, oh, Lord, and pray, oh, Lord, that, oh, Lord, this service would be in Thy order. That You would help us in the name of Jesus, that Your presence would be here. We praise Thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to worship tonight. I'm going to be at the piano. Samuel is not here, and Leah, so we are going to do the best we can, but we know that the Lord is here. And so, praise the Lord. Bear with me, please, folks. And just so thankful that God is here. God is with us. And again, it's beautiful for everyone that is here, and you that have joined us online. We thank God for you too, and very thankful that you're online with us. Praise the Lord. Please worship with us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Let's start by singing a song in our chorus book, His Name is Wonderful. And I believe that's, oh, I think it's 178 in the chorus book. Praise the Lord. not turn to a book in our hymnal, or a song in our hymnal, rather. It's page 46 in our Melodies of Praise. I will praise Him. Oh, praise the Lord. It's so wonderful to sing to our Lord and to praise and to worship Him. You know how things begin to change when we worship Him with all our heart, our mind, our soul. Things begin to change. Praise the Lord. So let's sing this song, the first four verses. We will sing the last verse, verses 1-4. Praise the Lord. I will praise Him.
Thank you.
praising Him right now, because I'll tell you what, oh, we will praise Him throughout all eternity. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to another hymn in this hymnal, page 273, At the Cross. Praise the Lord. We've got something to sing about tonight. We've got something to rejoice about. You know, when we sing these songs, try to put your whole heart into it. You know, something happens when, you know, it's not just words, but it's coming out from your heart, and you're singing about what the Lord has done or what you believe He's going to do in your life. Praise the Lord. At the Cross, 273.
Thank you.
tell you what, we would, oh, we would know it if he wasn't here. And life was empty and blank, all without hope, but he's given us something deep, something to love. Oh yes, something to value very greatly. Praise the Lord. presence, you know, something does happen when you just let go and let the Lord have his way. You know, that's when things begin to change and we just let God do it. And praise the Lord, you know, it's when we get into that place where his presence is. And oh, I'll tell you what, there is no place that is more wonderful than being in the presence of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Number 26, in his presence. Thankful that God is here tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, it is true when we're in his presence, other things begin to dissolve, you know? I mean, you forget about the cares of this life and all the other things that are going funny and, you know, that it seems so wrong. It don't make sense. We live in a world like that. That's the way it is. I tell you, that is just plain the way it is. And I don't expect it to get any better. You know, we all kind of like a pause now and then from all the nonsense that's in this world. But, oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Do we have an offering tonight, Jenny? Okay, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to be talking about the presence of the Lord tonight. Oh, you know, like I said, there is no place better than being in the presence of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just pray as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you again, Lord, that we can be here in this place, in thy presence, Lord. Oh, God, knowing, Lord, that, oh, God, we could do nothing without you, Lord. Oh, God, we could do nothing except that thou would go with us, except that they would show us, Lord, the way that we need to go. And, oh, Lord, the way to go. Oh, Lord, we could not do it alone, Lord Jesus. But we thank you that you are here tonight. You are here to meet the needs of your people, Lord. You are here, oh God, to bless us in those heavenly places with you, Lord. Oh God, and we just pray, oh Lord, that your presence would come down and that you touch us afresh, oh Lord, and you give us new glimpses of the heavenly vision, Lord, and of those things that you prepared for those that love you, Lord. Oh God, we thank you, Lord. We pray that you be here to meet the needs of your people, Lord. Oh God, every sickness and every disease, oh God, every infirmity, oh God, we ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would deliver and that you would heal. Oh God, that your mighty power would come down, Lord, that you touch tonight, oh Lord, to take away those sore throats, those infirmities, God. Oh God, those sore bones and everything else, Lord Jesus, those necks that don't want to move. Oh God, you know how to deliver us, God. You know, oh God, how to save us. Oh God, how to heal us, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that you touch us, Lord. You touch us, Lord Jesus, that you move, oh Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh God, and that you save us, Lord. Oh God, that you heal us, Lord Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Let your presence come down and touch us tonight. Let your presence come down, Lord, to meet every need. In the name of Jesus, oh Lord, that you touch us, Lord. Oh, God, that you touch us in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is so good. He is so dear and so wonderful. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, praise God. We're going to go to Psalm 16 here tonight. We're going to call this, Cast Me Not Away From Thy Presence. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Psalm 16. Praise the Lord. We're going to look at verse 8 here in this chapter. Psalm 16, verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Oh, praise the Lord. There is such hope in these scriptures here. You know, praise the Lord. You know, the psalmist said that he'd set the Lord always before him. You know, he should be in front of every move, every thought, you know, every action that we make. And because he's at the right hand, right there, that place of authority in one's life, the psalmist wrote, I shall not be moved. You know, if we're anchored in Jesus Christ, we shall not be moved. You know, we're steadfast, we're sure in that rock of ages. Praise the Lord. And then there's a rejoicing here in verse 9. My heart is glad, my glory rejoiceth, my flesh also shall rest in hope. Oh yes, even beyond the grave, there was hope. And then it's explained in verse 10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Oh, praise the Lord, that word Hades there that denotes the grave. And you know, that place, it also can mean a pit or hell itself, actually. But you know, it just, there's a promise here. And I believe the psalmist had great hope that the soul was not going to be left in hell. In fact, this is a Psalm of David, and he was seeing with eyes of faith the hope in the resurrecting power of the Lord. And he said, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. And there he had hope in the Savior that was to come, the one that would not see corruption. And we know that Jesus Christ, even though, oh yes, they put him in the ground, or put him in that sepulcher, his flesh did not see corruption. There was no decay in that body, because there was no sin in that flesh, and it did not see corruption. But then, verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. Oh, I believe that's the path of eternal life that he's talking about. And praise the Lord, there's only one who could show us the path of life. You know, people may seek philosophies and read books and, you know, look to religions and all this and that. But I'll tell you what, there's only one path of life. There's only one way that leads to eternal life. And that hope is only in Jesus Christ. But praise the Lord, David was saying and believing here that he would be shown the path of life. Oh, that straight and narrow way that leadeth to life. Oh, and a few there be that find it. But then he said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And I'll tell you what, it is so true. I've already said it. You know, when the presence of the Lord comes down and you're in that place where you can feel his spirit, you know, everything else dissolves. The cares, the worries, the fears, they dissolve, because you can feel the Lord. And he's talking to you. He's, you know, you're sensing that being of the presence of the Lord, being right there with you. And oh, I'll tell you what, that is fullness of joy. Praise the Lord. My joy is complete when I kneel, when I sit at thy feet, you know. Oh, praise the Lord. No wonder, yes, we can sing those songs, because, oh yes, the Lord has come unto us and made himself real. Praise the Lord. And oh, such a wonderful thing when we give it all to the Lord. There is fullness of joy. That means there's completeness of joy. There is no more joy that is greater than that of being in the presence of the Lord. And I'll tell you what, we get little taste of it right now on this earth when we worship and praise him. But I'll tell you what, that's eternity, when we're forever in the presence of the Lord. You know, really, this flesh, I don't think could bear it. I don't suppose, you know, but, you know, we're going to be changed. This mortal is going to, you know, put on immortality, you know. This corruptible body is going to put on incorruption. And we're going to be changed in the moment of the twinkling of the eye at the last drop. And, you know, all at once, you know, we're going to be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I'll tell you what, yeah, that continual presence of the Lord. Oh, I'll tell you what, it's going to be wonderful. Amen. It's going to be wonderful. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. You know, just turning to the Second Chronicles here for just a moment. And in Second Chronicles, the 7th chapter, I know Brother Samuel just brought this out a little bit on Sunday, but, you know, it was the time that the temple was being dedicated to the Lord. It had been, you know, along in the heart of David, to build a temple for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Lord, and God did not permit him to do that. But I'll tell you what, he did promise, you know, that he'd have a son that would be able to bring that to fruition, that great desire that he had in his heart. So here it is, it finally happened. David had gathered many of the essential things that were needed to build it, but Samuel was the one that was able to go forth and really do it. And it happened, you know, it happened. He was able to hire, you know, the particular builders to do all the essential things that were needed and all to make the instruments and in the all the containers, the dishes and everything else that was essential for worship in the temple. And then finally that day came when they could dedicate it to the Lord. Oh, that must have been a joyful time in old Israel. Here in the 7th chapter, 2 Chronicles, it tells us in verse 1, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, and he has a prayer that he brings forth in that 6th chapter of 2 Chronicles. This is when he had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Oh, praise the Lord, that's the presence of the Lord. It came down. It consumed all the burnt offerings, all the sacrifices. And the glory was so great that it filled all the houses. Oh, that house, the house of the Lord. And praise the Lord, the priests couldn't even enter in. It was like a thick cloud upon them because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And it tells us in verse 3, and when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord came upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord. And I can imagine it was again and again, praising the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And there they were. Oh, yes, it was so magnificent. Oh, it was so great. Their faces down to the pavement and worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, yes, and then they offered more sacrifices before the Lord. Praise the Lord, and all the people dedicated the house of the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. What a day that must have been when the glory of the Lord came down and filled the house, that temple. That was a temple that they had dedicated to the Lord. And praise God, now it's the people of God who are a temple for the Lord. We are the temple of the Lord, the dwelling place of the Lord, because he has come and brought forth his Spirit so that he could dwell in our very being, in this vessel, our earthen vessel here. He can dwell inside us. So now we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, of the Lord, the habitation, the dwelling place of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And oh yes, when we worship him, when we praise him, his presence comes down, his glory begins to flood our soul. We get a little glimpse of what heaven is going to be like. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to the book of Exodus now. The 32nd chapter here to begin. And it's a rather familiar portion of scripture, but you know, I'm going to take it back to old Israel here for a moment. And, you know, Moses had been called up to the Mount Sinai, and God was giving him the commandments. But I'll tell you what, there were things that were happening on the ground there. Those people of God that, you know, so-called, you know, that should have been waiting for Moses to come back and just realizing, you know, he's going to come back. But something called impatience, I believe, kind of came into them, it seems like, and started to bother them. And all at once, you know, they began to have this funny feeling that Moses wasn't going to come back. I believe it was the devil that was tempting them and telling them this. But so they began to gather around, and I'm sure they had talked and murmured among themselves too. But, you know, all at once they went to Aaron, who was in charge of them at the moment, and you know, they asked him to make gods. Because they said in verse 1, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, this the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what has become of him. Oh, praise the Lord, they should have known. Oh, yes, that he was with God and he was going to come back, you know, with specific things that they really needed. But, you know, they had given up. And they went to Aaron and, you know, asked him to make them gods. And I'll tell you, it's such a pathetic thing because Aaron complied. Aaron went along with this and tells us, actually in the 9th chapter of Deuteronomy, that God was very upset with Aaron for what he did. You know, it doesn't tell us that right here in the book of Exodus so much, but it is recorded in the book of Deuteronomy. And I'll tell you what, God, he would have smote Aaron except that Moses interceded for him. But anyway, Aaron went along with their thinking and told them to break off the golden earrings. Well, the things that, you know, they had those ornaments in their ears, which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. I'll tell you what, I'm not so sure, you know, those golden earrings were any good for them anyway, but, you know, they needed them for whatever purpose, I guess. You know, it was a sense of wealth at that time to wear, you know, the things that had value upon your person. But anyway, so it tells us in verse 3, and all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron and received them at their hand, it tells us here in verse 4. And I'll tell you what, this is really something, because he took that gold and he began to fashion it, it says, with a graving tool. And this was so forbidden. They were not to make any graven images. You know, they should have known that, even though, you know, they would later be given the Ten Commandments literally, but still, it should have been instilled in their heart that you don't fashion a god with a graven image. But anyway, he did it. He fashioned it with a graving tool. And it says, and after he had made it a molten calf, and they said, these be the gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And I tell you, the whole thing is terrible. But now they are giving those gods the credit of being the one that took them out of Egypt. I tell you what, that's blasphemy. That is downright blasphemy. And other, you know, then it just goes from bad to worse in this scenario here. And I'll tell you what, the Egyptians worshipped calves. So this was just stuff that they had retained in their heart. Some of it they had picked up from old Egypt and they hadn't let go of. And there it was still in their hearts. And then, you know, it tells us in verse 5, and when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Well, now this is, again, going from bad to worse. Now, you know, this molten calf has come up out of the fire, so to speak. And you know, then Aaron builds an altar before it so they can worship it, make sacrifices unto it. And then he makes a proclamation. Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Well, oh, there's no way a feast to the Lord. What audacity, really, to even declare it so early the next day. It says they rose up early on the morrow. And what did they do? They offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings to this golden calf. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And I'll tell you what, this is not pretty at all. This is nonetheless than a heathen orgy. I'll tell you what, it tells us later in this chapter in verse 19 that they were dancing before this golden altar and in this golden calf. You know, and it tells us also a little later too that they were naked in this worship. This is not good. This is horrible. I'll tell you what. These days isn't much better. People, they give their hearts to the things of this world. I'll tell you what, I don't have anything good to say about proms and a lot of parties and things that are abominable, a lot of wedding feasts and all that sort of thing. I'll tell you what, even the provocative way that people dress in these events. You know, yes, the people were naked in this case, but are they not naked these days too? I'll tell you, with clothes that hardly cover anything. I'll tell you what, that's not right. That's despicable. That's shamefulness. And God is not pleased with that. And I'll tell you what, if we're naming the name of Christ, we better depart from iniquity. We better, be concerned about the way we dress and about the sense of modesty, because God is watching. And nakedness is a shame unto him. tell you what, it is so pathetic. I know, I guess that's one good thing about winter. Maybe people are a little more covered up. But I'll tell you what, we as God's people, we have to have standards. You know, we can't go along with the flow of this world. I'll tell you what, it's not right the way people dress, you know? Clothes that show everything, pants so tight that you can see everything. Come on, this is not right. It is a shame and it's a reproach. And besides, women are not supposed to wear anything that pertains to a man. But praise the Lord, I'll tell you what, God has a people and he puts it in our heart. Yes, a sense to abstain from the things of the world that are not right, these indulgences that people do. And I'll tell you what, there are people that name the name of Christ and engage in such activities. I'll tell you what, God is not pleased. And it is time for the children of God to get awake and to come out of Babylon and stop doing the abominable things. Amen. Praise the Lord. So here it was. Oh, dear Lord. Oh, dear Lord. Oh, boy. They were doing this. And God saw it. In verse 7, and the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Well, I'll tell you what, God was disowning these people already. He's disassociating himself already. You know, the people that you brought, he's putting down Moses, and Moses is the one that called him, but it was so... must have been so dreadful for God to see and to hear and to know what was going on down there, these people that he had redeemed, that he had brought out of Egypt. Oh, yes, he'd caused the Red Sea to open up so that they could cross, this great multitude of people. And here they are, doing abominable things and worshiping around the golden calf. Oh, how quickly they had turned aside and doing the things that God had forbidden and commanded them not to do. And then beside that saying, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. I'll tell you what, this is abomination. Oh, this is blasphemy. I'll tell you what, God was so sorely upset. And it says in verse 9, and the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Oh, people, oh, that were so set in their ways that they had not given their hearts to the Lord. Just that stony heart that couldn't be shaped, that couldn't be molded, oh, that could not conform to the ways of God. A stiff-necked people. And then verse 10, now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Oh, the Lord is talking to Moses, and oh, he has seen it, and oh, he's ready to consume them. His wrath has waxed hot. And I don't think we want to see God when his wrath has waxed hot. I'll tell you what, that day is coming, that day of his vengeance is coming, and I don't want to see his wrath. Oh my, I want to be right in the sight of the Lord. I want to be doing his will. I don't want to see his wrath when he falls upon this world. Oh, to judge it in righteousness. Oh, and here it is. Here's an example of God's wrath. Oh yes, it waxed hot against them. He was ready to consume them. He was going to make a great nation out of Moses. But Moses had a heart of godliness and of concern, and you know, I'm sure he had it couldn't have been easy to put up with these people. But he besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Of course, you know, Moses did not yet see what was going on down there. So he's interceding for these people. In verse 12, wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out? to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thy own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. Oh, praise the Lord. He's beseeching the Lord, and oh, he's calling even to God the remembrance of his promises, and beseeching him that he would turn away from his fierce wrath and, repent, or in other words, turn around from this decision, reconsider it. And it tells us in verse 14, and the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto this people. In other words, he reconsidered what he had, in his heart at the moment to do because of Moses. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Moses was a type of Christ, the one who died for us when we were ungodly and in our transgressions and our sins and all the rotten, raunchy things that we had done. Yet he loved us. And here, yes, praise the Lord, Moses was that type of Savior at this moment, interceding for these people who at this moment had displeased God, oh, so horribly. But the Lord heard his cry and intervened. Oh, yes, the Lord reconsidered. And Moses turned and went down from the mount. And the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides. On the one side and on the other were they written. And it tells us in verse 16, oh, these were precious works. It says, and the tables were the work of God. And the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. Oh, very precious. Oh, God had written out these commandments for his people to follow, so things would be plain and clear, and they wouldn't have to misunderstand. And here it is, Moses is turning to go down from the Mount Sinai, with those two precious tables in his hands. And there's one that was waiting for him. There's one man that was very faithful, and I see this pattern. Yes, he was the one that followed after Moses and leading the children of Israel. It was Joshua, a very faithful man. And here he was waiting for Moses to come down from the mount. It tells us there in verse 17, and when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, he's been waiting for him, there is a noise of war in the camp. And I'll tell you what, that noise, we hear some of the music of the world, those cars that go by and they're playing this noise, rather loudly, and the house might even shake because it's so loud and nonsensical and unmusical and everything else, abominable besides, all the music of the world. There was a sound, and Joshua thought that was a noise of war. I'll tell you what, some of these sounds sound like war. But it was not really that exactly. Verse 18, and he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome. And so Moses realized that it wasn't the sound that they were engaged in a war of either gaining mastery or being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. Oh, they were having quite a party, I'll say. It tells us in verse 19, and it came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands, and he broke them beneath the mount. Oh, I tell you what, now it was Moses' time when he saw what they were doing. Oh, that righteous indignation rose up within him. Oh, he couldn't believe what he was seeing, these people that he had brought out of old Egypt. There they were worshiping. They were dancing around this golden calf. Oh, he couldn't believe it. And now it was Moses' turn for his anger to wax hot. And all, you know, those precious tables of stone. I'm sure he couldn't hardly help it because of the disgust was so great. He broke them beneath the mount. And then he went down there, and oh, where there was that calf. It says he took the calf which they had made, and he burnt it in the fire, and he ground it to powder. And he strawed it upon the water, and he made the children of Israel drink of it. Oh, I'll tell you what, Moses was a righteous man, and when he saw this, oh, he took that calf, oh, he destroyed that calf, he ground it to powder, and he strawed it upon the water, oh, all the remnants of it, and made the people to drink of it. And then it says in verse 21, Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron made excuse. Oh, I'll tell you what, he was guilty. He could have said, no, we can't do that. You know, he could have been an example. He could admonish them and exhorted them, you know, and held them back. But he got along with them. And Aaron said in verse 22, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. Oh, he's blaming them. He's excusing himself. For they said unto me, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what is become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, that break it off. So they gave it me, that I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. Oh boy, what a story he had here. Oh boy. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. Oh, the shame of their nakedness. And yes, when we stand before God, we have to have on his righteousness. We can't stand before him naked in our own sins, in our own debauchery. We have to be clothed with his righteousness. Linen garment, the righteousness of the saints that the Lord gives to us. There they were in the shame of their nakedness. It says in verse 26, oh my. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. He was giving them space to repent at this moment. And the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto Moses. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. Oh, there are consequences for sin. Sin has to be atoned for. You know, it can't go unchecked. And I'll tell you what, that's why we have this wonderful opportunity now to give our lives to the Lord, to repent of our sins, and to cry out to God now. Praise the Lord. And it tells us the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And there fell the people that day about 3,000 men. And then there had to be a time of cleansing. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. Oh, there needed to be remorse. There needed to be sorrow for this great damage that they had done. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin. And now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sins. As I said, the price for sin, it has to be atoned for. There's a penalty for sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And there was something that was needed here. It tells us in verse 31, Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. I'll tell you what, the spirit that was in Moses, you know, even willing, if you know, to have his own life blotted out of the book of life in order for the people to gain favor again with the Lord. But it's individual accountability, as we read last week there in Ezekiel, the 18th chapter. And God said, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. I'll tell you what, oh, we never want our name blotted out of the Lamb's book of life. Oh, I'll tell you what, that is nothing that's going to matter at that moment when we stand before the Lord, but that our name is in the book of life. We stand before God and have to give an account of the deeds that were done in our bodies. And that's this day, the days of our flesh. Oh, we never want to lose our walk with the Lord. Oh, we never want to turn around. Oh, and give up on the Lord. Oh, no matter what comes, no matter who tempts us, no matter, oh, what awful things, danger, darkness, whatever all is on the face of this earth, we never want to give up our walk with the Lord. And then God said, therefore, go now, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angels shall go before thee. Nevertheless, the day when I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. Oh, yes, there had to be consequences. But I want to go into the 33rd chapter to finish my thought here tonight. And I'll tell you what, oh, yes, the terrible travesty of sin. Oh, the pleasures of sin for a moment, but I'll tell you what, the end of sin is death. It's separation from God for all eternity. Again, so thankful to God that we can repent of our sins, that blood of Jesus Christ atoned for our sins so we can come to Him in repentance and turn things over to God, knowing that, oh, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord, and that we can obey the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, going down into the water in the name of the Lord Jesus, being buried with Him, to rise to walk in newness of life, the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, the Spirit of the living God, oh, which He chose to put within His people to make us a temple for His kingdom, for His sake. Praise the Lord. So here we continue in the 33rd chapter. It tells us in verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And I'll tell you what, you know, God's not claiming these people at the moment, you know. The people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt unto the land I swear. You know, I'm going to keep it for my promise sake, you know, that which I swear unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know, to thy seed will I give it. But, you know, God was very unhappy with these people, to say the least. And in verse 2 it says, and I will send an angel before thee. You know, I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. I'll tell you what, God is still angry. And, okay, let's note something here. He said He would send an angel to go with them. But He said in verse 3, I will not go with thee. You know, I will not go with thee up in the midst of, I will not go up in the midst of thee. You know, you are a stiff-necked people, and you know, lest I consume thee in the way. And I'll tell you what, oh my, this was not good news I don't want to go anywhere outside the Lord. I know how frail I am and how I need the Lord. I know that without Him, I could do nothing. And believe me, if I don't have the Lord, I'm completely lost. I don't want to walk a second. I don't want to live a second without the Lord. And here, God is saying, I'll send an angel before thee. The angel will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, all that, you know. But I'm not going to go with you. And I'll tell you what, this had an impact. It says in verse 4, and when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned. And no man did put on him his ornaments. Oh, yes, those finery, the things that, they would put on when they were, perhaps celebrating. So anyway, it wasn't good news. And it says in verse 5, for the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Oh, God is still angry. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And I'll tell you what, there must have been a dead silence in the camp. I'm sure they could feel the wrath of God at this moment, and they did not know what God was going to do next. He's talking about consuming them. And I'll tell you, if anything was sobering, that had to be sobering. And it says in verse 6, oh boy, yes, I'm going to do what the Lord says. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. It says in verse 7, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that every one which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. So outside of the place where they were all camped, he set up the tabernacle. And there were those that had an inclination to seek after the Lord, and they went out to the tabernacle, which was outside the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. So there may have been a little bit of time between verse 7 and verse 8, quite possibly, but anyway, they're all still, not knowing how God is going to avenge himself of, their nastiness, their great sin. So there they are, they're standing. And I have to say they're very sober. I believe they're very worried. And it tells us, and it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. Oh, that cloudy pillar that stood for the presence of the Lord. It came and stood by the tabernacle, indicating that God was in the tabernacle, that the presence of the Lord was there. And it says in verse 10, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent door. It says in verse 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And I'll tell you what, this tells me that Moses had a personal relationship with God. Oh, there weren't too many people at this time that knew God like that. Oh my, he was, somebody they feared and revered and respected, if they had any sense at all, but they didn't really know God. But I thank God, oh, since Jesus has come into the world, oh yes, since Jesus paid that price for our sins, since, oh yes, the Spirit of the Lord has come and filled our vessels with His Spirit, I tell you what, we can know what it's like to be the friend of God. We can all have a personal relationship with God. We can all meet the Lord face to face. We can all bow down before Him. We can all be recipients of His presence. I'll tell you what, if we'll worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, His presence will come down. Oh yes, His presence will come down. It'll burn up the dross. It'll burn up all the things, oh, that need to go in our lives. Oh yes, it'll convict of sin and help us to be what we need to be. Oh yes, in the sight of God. So praise the Lord, there was a man named Moses. God knew. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again unto the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Well, I'll tell you what, Joshua is very faithful. And here again, we read of him in this chapter 2. He's waiting. He's going to wait there. He's not mingling with the people and, you know, getting involved in nonsense or any of that, but he's waiting. And it tells us in verse 12, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. He's talking to God and reminding God of the things that God had promised him. And, you know, that, you know, God, you told me, you know, that I found grace in your sight. God, you told me that, you know, know me by name. God, you told me to lead these children of Israel out of Egypt. So he's reminding God. Then he says in verse 13, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Oh, praise the Lord, the way of the Lord. Oh, that we may walk in it. We need to know the way. Oh, yes, we were all so lost. We were wandering around, and oh, God knows in it. And, oh, you know, our unknowns, you know, just not knowing the way at all. And oh, just, you know, going any way that seemed right to us. But praise the Lord, there is one that knows the way. And Moses realized that. He said, oh Lord, now if I found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Oh yes, God had just said, you know, I feel sent an angel to go with them. I mean, you know, at first he was going to destroy them, you know, and then he said, well, okay, Moses, because you interceded in all, and I'm paraphrasing here a bit, you know, I'll send an angel, but, you know, I'm not going to go. But here is Moses. He's interceding again, and he's beseeching the Lord that, you know, he would reconsider that this nation is thy people. And praise the Lord. Moses prevailed. You know, the Lord has such mercy. You know, he hears us. And, you know, when we cry out to him from the depths, you know, in despair and great need, God hears us. And he loves us. He cares, you know. His eye is on the sparrow and so much more, his people. And God answers. God intervenes. He knows the things that you have need of this very night. Praise the Lord. And he is an answering God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And God said here in verse 14, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Oh, praise the Lord. God heard Moses' cry. God heard him, you know, and then now he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, this is Moses talking, oh, and I can feel this. He said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Oh, I can understand that. Lord, if you don't go with us, please. Don't send me, Lord. I realize that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can't do it on my own volition, my own strength. I don't have that kind of ability or power or, you know, intelligence or anything. It's all of the Lord, you know, the one that goes with us. And praise the Lord, Moses. Oh, I just, that spirit that was in him, and saying to God, if thy presence go not with me, carry us, not up hence. Oh my. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? That was the evidence that they were being led, because it was God who was leading them by that cloud by day and that pillar of fire by night. That was the Lord that was leading them, and it was evidence that he was going with them. It wasn't just an angel, but it was the Lord. It was the Lord himself. And I know his angels encamp around us as his children, them that fear the Lord. His angels are here, and God only knows what wonderful feats they have done on our behalf. But praise the Lord, there is one. Oh, that goes with us. Oh, yes. The good shepherd, the one that leads us, the one that guides us. And oh, praise the Lord, he's the one that leads the way, so we can follow in his footsteps, so we can know him, so we can have fellowship with him, so we can know him as our Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So, oh yes, that's how they know, because you're with us, Lord. Without you, we can do nothing. Oh, we're just, we'd be like the other nations without you. We, no strength or ability of our own. Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And yes, God has called us unto separation. If he's called us forth, he's called us to be a chosen generation. Oh yes, he's called us to go forth and to separate ourselves from the world, to come out from among them, be separate, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. Oh yes, that's the call to the church, the called out ones, the ecclesia, the church of the living God. We are separated from this world. Oh, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that God has called forth. Oh yes, we were not the people of God at one point, but oh, praise the Lord, he intervened in our lives. He called us. Oh, he chose us so that we might walk with him and that we might know his ways and have that fellowship with him and be his own peculiar treasure. Praise the Lord, that we might be his people. And he had called those Israelite people to be his own chosen people. He didn't want them to mingle with the rest. He wanted them to be separated, though they fell short on that. Oh, praise the Lord. But God is so good. And the Lord said unto Moses in verse 17, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord knoweth them that are his. It tells us, yes, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Oh, God knows. Yes, we've been called from the foundation of the world. He put it within us so that we might turn from sin, that we might recognize our great need of a Savior and turn from sin. And Moses went on and said in verse 18, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Oh, Moses wanted to see more. And God loved this man. Praise the Lord. And he said, verse 19, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said in verse 20, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cliff to the rock. And I will cover thee with my hand when I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Oh, praise the Lord. I don't know how God manifested himself to Moses as they were talking, but, there was more that God wanted to see. And, God could not show his face at that time. You know, even though he was on a personal relationship with Moses, there was something beyond, because I believe the glory of God would be too great. Even when Moses came down from the mount, his face shone so brightly that he had to put a veil on his face, because he had been in the presence of the Lord. And I'll tell you what, it was so bright. The presence of the Lord was so bright that it blinded the people so that they couldn't look at Moses' face. I'll tell you what, it shows when we are in the presence of the Lord and the glory of the Lord comes into our very being. Oh God, we could sense his might and his glory and his wonderful ways. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing it is that we can be in his presence. We can feel the touch of the Lord. And yes, oh, and he comes down. Oh, yes, he comes to dwell in our midst. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in their midst. There from Matthew, the 18th chapter. Oh, praise the Lord, he comes to dwell with us. We worship him with spirit and in truth. It doesn't matter, you know, if it's, you know, we're alone even at times. We worship the Lord with all our heart. He comes down. He lets his presence be felt so we can sup with him. He stands at the door and knocks, you know, and bidding, you know, wanting to come in to a heart so that he can come in and sup with that individual, with us. To sup with us, to talk to us, oh, to be our friend, to be our Savior. Oh, that's our God, oh, yes, who died that we might have a personal relationship with him, that we might know his glory, oh, yes, that we might someday stand in his presence and know our God. Oh, I'll tell you what, you know, Jacob had that dream there. Oh, yes, when he was so afraid of fleeing. Oh, yes, from his brother, and he didn't know what was in front of him or what he would have to face. His brother had sworn to kill him, you know, and, you know, Jacob didn't know. There he was, he's going away from home. And he didn't know what was ahead of him or if he'd ever get back there. And all that night, oh, praise the Lord, as he was heading toward Haran there, the place that his mother's family lived, you know, and he going out from Beersheba there, he came upon a spot there, tells us in the 28th chapter of Genesis, he came upon a certain spot, and he tarried there that night. The sun was set, it was time to go to bed, and took a stone of that place and set them for his pillows. And imagine he laid his garment over those stones to soften them. And he lay down to sleep. But I'll tell you what, it wasn't going to be ordinary. Jacob had a dream that night. And behold, he could see this ladder, oh, this tall, tall ladder that was set up on the earth, and it reached all the way into heaven. And he could see the angels of the Lord going up and down and up and down. That ladder that he saw in his dream, ascending and descending upon it. And then above, it all there stood the Lord. He could, oh, somehow know it was the Lord. Oh, yes, high and lifted up there in that ladder, in that dream. And God introduced himself to Jacob that night. Oh, Jacob, I know he knew of God, but he didn't have a personal relationship with him at that time. He didn't really know God. God hadn't really dealt with him personally at that time, but God introduced himself to Jacob. He said, behold, the Lord stood above it, that ladder, and said, I am the Lord, God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, the seed of David, oh, was going to bring forth a Savior that came from Jacob. All of that, as it, the years, the decades went by, there was going to be one that was born of that seed, a Savior. And praise the Lord, born into the family of God, we are that seed. Oh, yes, we are the children of God. And praise the Lord, and this promise that in thee, as God was telling Jacob, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And he assured him here in verse 15, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and I will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep. Oh, praise the Lord. Like I said, this was no ordinary dream. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He didn't know when he laid down his head that God was going to show himself there that night, that God was going to come to him and introduce himself and reassure him of his promises and tell him that he was going to be with him, that he was going to take him, and he's going with him, he's going to bring him back. And in his seed should all the families of the earth be blessed. Oh, praise the Lord, he was going to give him a seed. And in that seed would all the families of the earth be blessed. Oh, praise the Lord for his promises. He's going to be with him. He's going to keep him. He's going to go with him. Oh, praise the Lord. And Jacob awakened from that dream. Oh, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Oh, he had sensed the presence of the Lord as he saw that ladder that reached into heaven, and the angels of the Lord ascending and descending upon that ladder, and the Lord at the top of that ladder speaking to him. Oh, it was awesome. And it says he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Oh, he perceived, the presence of the Lord. And how wonderful it is when God speaks to us and talks to us. Oh, there's nothing more wonderful than that. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And it tells us, verse 20, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Praise the Lord. Jacob met God that night. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I thank God for those moments when we meet with God. Oh, yes, we were all so far off at one point, wandering away and not knowing the living God, but the mercies of God that revealed himself to us. Oh, that we even have that knowledge to cry out unto him. Oh, yes, to acknowledge him, to pour out our hearts unto him, to obey him. Yes, to come to him. Oh, praise the Lord. That's the goodness and mercy of God. And I'll tell you what, as wonderful as the presence of the Lord is, we never want to be in that place where we lose this special presence of the Lord. Oh, yes, that day is coming when that book of life is going to be opened and all are going to stand before God. And Jesus talked about that hour in the fifth chapter of John, verse 28, John 5, verse 28. Jesus said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Oh, this moment is coming forth. Oh, yes, when we will be judged, and as it tells us in Revelation, the 20th chapter, just read there quickly. those books are going to be opened. Oh yes, as John is writing in Revelation 20, verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." Tell you what, sin is not going to be able to stand in the presence of the Lord. Oh, when he comes back, he's coming back to judge. And I'll tell you what, sin is not going to be able to stand. Oh, there's going to be that fleeing from his presence. And it says in verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." God judging everyone according to the deeds. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Well, I tell you what, we never want to be in that place where we're cast out of the presence of the Lord, where we come to that place where we can't stand before him because there is sin in our lives, sin that has not been forgiven. Oh, that filthy, ugly sin that we did not give to the Lord. We don't ever want to be in that place because, as John wrote, in the fifth chapter of John, that we should not marvel, because that hour is going to come when all that are in the graves are going to hear that voice. Oh yes, when the trump of the Lord shall sound. Oh yes, he's going to come with a shout. The trump of the Lord. And oh yes, all at once, the resurrection of the dead. And we're going to come forth, all of us. "And shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Oh, tell you what, Moses realized that he could go forth without the presence of the Lord leading. And I'll tell you what, if we've been led in a walk with the Lord, if we come to know the Lord, we realize that we cannot withdraw ourselves from the Lord's presence. We need his continual presence to guide us, to lead us, to direct us, to talk to our hearts, to show us what we need. Oh, we couldn't do it without him. When Moses realized, "Oh, I can't do it, Lord. If you don't go with us, if you don't lead us, then take me not to that place. I can't do it. Lord, there is no way if you don't go with us." And there's a Psalm of David, Psalm 51, and I know this was after David had sinned, and finally the realization came to him of what he had done. Nathan, the prophet, came to him and told him that he was the man that he was describing in his story there. And all at once, that realization that he had transgressed, that he had sinned. Oh, praise the Lord. It's no wonder he had to cry forth in this psalm. Oh, he's saying, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before thee." My sin is ever before me. Praise the Lord. As we go down to verse 10, he cried, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Oh, praise the Lord. There is no way that we ever want to be cast away from the the presence of the Lord. Oh, on that great and final day, I pray that we would all be found worthy in His sight, that we would all be forgiven, that we would all be wearing that garment of His righteousness, clothed in the righteousness of the righteous King, the one that came to save us. Oh yes, that clean heart that David cried out for, that right spirit within his being. And he said in verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Well, I tell you what, that spirit of the living God is the pearl of all, beyond any others, the pearl of great price. Oh yes, the thing that the Lord has given us, eternal life, His Spirit, and we never want to despise this gift that the Lord has given us, this inheritance that the Lord has given us. Oh, praise the Lord. We never want to be cast away from the presence of the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We want to be abiding in His presence and doing His will at His coming. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. He talks to us. So, God, that He made a way that we could find that place of His presence, that place where there's fullness of joy, complete joy, because we know that He is with us and that we are abiding in Him and Him in us. Oh, He's filled us with His Spirit and taken away our transgressions. Oh, praise the Lord. We can praise Him. We can love Him. We can worship Him. Oh, we thank You, Jesus, and we praise You, God. I pray, oh God, that You talk to our hearts. Oh God, that You help us, oh Lord, to ever follow after You, Lord, so we can be found that good and faithful servant. Oh, yes, of those that are called, chosen, and faithful, right in Thy sight. Thank You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We still have opportunity to repent. Praise the Lord. And I thank God, you know, it gives us time to call upon the Lord. Yet here tonight, or wherever you are, whenever you listen to this, now is the time of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. It's time to get right with the Lord. It's time to do His will and to live for Him. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's give Him our hearts here tonight. And praise and worship Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank You, God. Oh, thank You, Lord. We love You, Jesus. Oh, praise God. We love You, Lord. Oh, thank You, God. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He is Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. He is Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to 130 in the chorus book. Praise the Lord. It's such a wonderful thing to know that He's our Lord and our God and not just a stranger. Oh, praise the Lord. We could be in that place where He is. Praise the Lord. 130.